Okay, let us start. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Just press. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can offer the tray, yeah. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 be seated, then we can start the puja. Let us compose our mind, yeah? Develop the faith, sada, virya, then we shall mindfully recite the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang Demi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated and turn the page one. We shall commence the chanting. Okay. นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะพุทธังสรณังกัจฉามิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิดุติยัมปิพุทธังสรณังกัจฉามิดุติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิดุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิพุทธังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิอาดินาทานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาดาเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรัยามัจจาปมาทัฏฐานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะฏังสมาทิยามิ We are now chant the Padipa Puja.กันนาสารปฏิเทนะดิเปนะตมะดังสีนาทิโลกาติพังสัมบุตตังปูจายามิตโมนุดังกันนะสัมบรยุทเทนะโดเปนะหังสุกังหินาปูจายเอปูจานิยังตังปูจาปัจจานะมุตตมังวันนากันดาโกโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตทิปูจายามิมุนินยาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนาเมเตนาเชโหทุโมคังปูปังวิลายติอิตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบญานาปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังWe are now reciting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein.Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila Samadhi Panya, leading to the ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to departed ones. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings, exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Tripa Jam. Bedang pecemi, tamang pecemi, sanghang pecemi. Okay, you can be seated. Tonight easier, everybody here before, so no need to explain. I think we can have more time for meditation. You will have about 38 minutes to meditate. Okay, if you're off the light, then for those who already know how to meditate, you straight away go ahead. For those who still need to train your mind or prepare yourself, you just do what you need to do. Yeah? If you find the mind sweeping method helps, then develop it. Then after that, you should develop the stability of the silent mind. If your anapanasati is still not stable, then you can continue to develop it. The key to meditation is relax. Relax and silent to maintain the awareness. Whatever mind state that arises, just relax into it, then maintain silent. The moment you are silent, you are already aware. You don't try to be aware. When thought arises, don't worry. Tell yourself, the untrained mind will think. When your spiritual faculty are not stable, the mental hindrance will be there, so never mind, let it be. As long as you don't try to suppress it, control it, or fight it, your mind will naturally relax and become quiet. Yeah. Then if you develop the understanding of the teaching, the significance of all this puja offering, the main purpose is to train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty, then your sadha will help you maintain a calm and composed mind. leading to the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner well-being. Then, if you need the mind sweeping method to help you to decondition your heedless thinking, use it. Then after that, if you need to anchor the stability of this silent mind with any object of meditation that you are familiar with, use it. If you don't have any, then use anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Just relax, silent. Every time the attention moves away from the breathing, you mindfully bring it back. Do not become unhappy or disturbed, because the untrained mind will be heedless. Initially, when the mind is not trained, you will wander off very fast. But after some patience and training, mindfulness will develop. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Maintain attentiveness in front of your nostril. Relax, silent. And when the breath and the mind move as one, there is anapanasati, breathing in, away, breathing out, away. Or whatever skillful means that you have developed, just use it. Then after that, if you already stabilize your anapanasati, or whatever skillful means that can make you peaceful and calm, you just relax into all mind state that arise, then silence everything. Then as this mindfulness stabilizes, the mind state become different. You will experience the various type of peacefulness, calmness, starting with piti, stabilizing into sukha, and you continue to relax deep into it. It will become pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, very quiet, very peaceful, very tranquil, silent, no thought. So that is the ultimate training. Then after that, you just maintain awareness at the whatever object of meditation that you have. If it's the breathing will become very quiet, very still, very subtle, like no more breath. Don't panic. There is a sign of good progress. Then just relax into it, silent everything, and allow the mind to become peaceful and quiet and tranquil on its own, without movement. Then as this mindfulness develops, the mind will stabilize and enter sati. When the mind is in sati, it is very beautiful. This mind on its own will be required. Then the mind that is in sati is very sensitive. It can detect all the subtle movement. Whatever subtle breathing, like no breathing, but when your mind is in sati, you will detect them. Then you can become very calm and very peaceful easily, then you will stay there. Then not long, even this so-called pasati, it can become so sensitive, so much so wherever you arise the mind, you can move this awareness to any part within your body. From anapanasati, it will drop to your mind base. Then when you use your mind sweeping method, when you reach your heart or chest area, you just relax into it, silent. Then because the mind is already trained, sati is there, it will detect whatever vibration that is around the heart area, or even the heartbeat. Initially, like very gross, pounding. Never mind, just be aware of it, silent, and be with it. Then this pounding or whatever movement, vibration, they will slow down, slow down, slow down until very quiet. And then you just relax deep into it and just silent everything. That silent mind is the meditative mind. That mind can understand many, many things. Whatever that arise and pass away within your six and all, you will start to understand them. You will start to experience all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about within your own form and mind. What you need is just a deep silence, stabilizing into samadhi. Okay, I'll let you meditate on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 or 25 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have done up slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. That is the mind state that we need to train and develop. Once it's developed, we have to stabilize it. Okay. Now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read the English translation. Then after that, Engbi will help us chant the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Good evening, Bratio. Maybe I invite everybody to join in the invitation chanting. Let us start, all of us. Samanta Chakravalesu Achagachantu Devata Sada Sunantu Sakamokadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampano Sugato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Tadeva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabu Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango ยาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยาติดังจัตตาริปุริสายุคานิอัตถปุริสปุกาลาเอสาบะกาวะโตสาวกสังโฆอาโหเนโยปาโหเนโยดาเคเนโยอัญจาลิกาลานิโยอานุตรังปุญญาเกตังโลกาสาธิสาธุสาธุสาธุคิลเลสปีรีสเปคทริปเปอร์เจมวิดังปเจมิธัมมังปเจมิสังฆังปเจมิโอเค you can be seated relax body and mind maintain some form of attention then we will continue with the second session.Second session is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A, question and answer. You can ask whatever question related to the teaching, Dhamma, the meditation, and also how to apply what you have learned, to help you understand life and develop the understanding, to live life, to overcome whatever.Life situation or problem that you encounter. Okay, now we open up. Anybody who wants to report the meditation or ask any question, you just raise your hand. Or anybody has written any written question, you can forward them. Maybe that sister. You got any question? Yeah. Yes.Pass the mic to her. Yes, pass the mic to you.
Thank you, Brother Teo.
Yes.
Brother Teo, my brother passed away this morning.
Oh.
What should I do as a Buddhist?
Okay,
I do not know how to pray.
Oh, okay. This morning, what time was it?
7:15.
A morning.
Passed away in the hospital,
Oh, okay. Now she is back at the home. At the house. Opening. Oh, don't worry. Even you are here, you can do many things. That is a very good question. Okay, I will answer you. Your name is what?
Doris.
Your brother's name is what?
Ronnie Chi Fu On.
Oh, let me write it down.
Thank you.
Because there is affinity, we will try to do something tonight. Ronnie.Chi.
F-U.
Fu on.
O-N-N.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank you, Brother Duke.
Don't worry. We will try to help you to share some merits, invoke some merits. Then maybe through that we will invoke some blessings for him. Okay.As per the Buddha's teaching and advice to all living beings, this is one of the first noble truth realities that the Buddha talked about. Out of the eight realities, the first four is birth, old age, sickness and death. So death is one of the realities. So this is very important.That's why I wrote here, you can see, realities of life and existence. First, Noble Truth Reality. You're familiar with the essence of the Buddha's teaching, isn't it? Yeah. The essence of the Buddha's teaching is the Four Noble Truths. So the first Noble Truth is the Noble Truth of suffering, dukkha, in Pali. So this is a Noble Truth, the Buddha said. And because it is a Noble Truth, it talks about the realities of life and existence. So if we live long enough as living beings, we will have to confront all this reality. The first four, like I have mentioned just now, birth, old age, sickness, and death, will lead to suffering, the Buddha said, if there is no understanding. That's why there will be sorrow, there will be grief. Then from your face, I can feel your sorrow and whatever. But you don't worry, because these are reality. We have to confront it. When you confront it with understanding, there can be a lot of peacefulness within. There can be a lot of joy. And it's more important to do whatever you can to help out in whatever situation, especially in this case, it's your own brother. So the truth is, the reality is, he has just passed away. So whatever that follow will be the reality that the family members have to go through. Then the loved ones, like you, one of the sisters, then your other brother, sister, if there's any, then I don't know whether your parents are still around or not, or no more, then not so bad. So whatever it is, this reality, they have to manage. But most people haven't done it before, so it is not easy. But the Buddha's teaching is very beautiful. He said, if you want to understand life, you need to understand this reality before it hits you. Understand? So, under the teaching, the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha, under the second turning, is to be understood, the Buddha said. You have to understand them, so that when it comes for you to confront them, you will understand, you will not have any more problem. Then it also ties with the five daily contemplation. These five daily contemplation are the essential daily contemplation that the Buddha talks about. Under our chanting book, we have it on page 17. The five daily contemplation. This is to help us understand the first noble truth reality, and also at the same time to understand the very important nature's law that governs life and existence, which is the law of karma. So if you turn to page 17 of the chanting book, maybe we go through. The first three relates to the first four reality. The Buddha said we have to contemplate every day until it becomes very clear that this body of ours, the physical form, is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and one day die. For it is made of element, not you. It goes the way of nature. So it has not gone beyond old age, sickness, and death. So these first three, you need to constantly contemplate so that when the time comes for this reality to arise, then there will be no sorrow and lamentation, because it's just the physical form that goes the way of nature. So getting old, getting sick, and passing away is a common reality which is common to all humanity. Not only our body dies, every living being's body, sooner or later, they have to die. Even like disease and sickness, when condition is no longer right, disease and sickness will set in. Then as we live long enough, we will experience getting old, or old age, going through what they call the decay process. So this reality, if you contemplate deep into it, then you realize the physical body that goes the way of nature will experience all those things. So we need not worry about it. We need not become sad or sorrowful over it, because this is the reality of this physical body form, and it's not you. So that you don't have to worry about this one getting old, getting sick or die, because the mind is separate. Yeah. Then after you have contemplated into this, you will have certain type of clear understanding which will not delude you to attach or cling on to this physical body. Then the Buddha moved on to the fourth contemplation, which is equally important. The fourth contemplation is whatever you think you own, yeah, or possess or hold on to dearly, like your loved ones, your possession, your wealth, your reputation, or whatever that you hold on to dearly, the Buddha said they are all conditioned arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. They don't belong to you. They were either separate from you when conditions cease to be, or when your breath stops, you cannot own them too. That's why you were still separate. So separation is a reality. So separation can occur during death. Death is one of the conditions. Then apart from death, we can also have relationship failure that can also lead to separation. Then sometimes it's forced separation during war, during nature's disaster, during certain like poverty situation. So sometimes we are forced to separate from our loved one because of poverty, because of circumstances. So all this, if you reflect and contemplate and you develop the wisdom through your cultivation, then you will understand the impermanence characteristics of all phenomena, including our loved ones and possession, because they are impermanent, means they arise due to condition. When condition cease to be, they will separate and cease. Even our physical form and mind, our own breath, will also one day have to cease. So when it happens, separation will occur. So death is one of the reality that can lead to separation. So if you accept this reality, then no more problem, because not only me, all of humanity, they are also subject to the same reality. So sooner or later, they have to confront. So the teaching is about developing wisdom so that when you confront them, this noble truth of suffering, if you have understood, you need not go through the process of suffering. You will not be afflicted. You will not be affected. That's why under the third noble truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be. When you understand his teaching, because Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. As long as you have this understanding of what he is trying to teach you. So this third noble truth is a very important understanding. It is one of the most important things that humanity or living being need to realize. Because once you realize the third number truth, which is Nibbana. So like the Buddha said, under the second turning of the third number truth, this number truth of cessation of dukkha, or end of all suffering, which is the realization of Nibbana, is to be realized. The moment you realize it, your mind is free. You don't have to be caught in this noble truth reality, and it will not afflict you. So this understanding is very, very important. Then there is also this second noble truth which explains the cause arising of suffering, is it? When you are hit with this first noble truth reality, if you don't have the understanding of his teaching, the wisdom born of Buddha Dhamma, you will suffer, he said. And the cause is craving. So this word craving is to be understood. Craving. Craving. Yeah? Or your clinging, grasping, attachment. Grasping and attachment. These are the equivalent words. Craving, which is clinging, grasping, and attachment, born of self-delusion. Delusion. This teaching is very important, very powerful. This is the only teaching that is different from the other religion. All the other religion, most of them talk about God and Almighty God. But the Buddha said there is no such thing as an Almighty God. Everything that arises within our existential world is dependent, originating. Nothing is permanent. Everything is non-self. So self-delusion is when we deludedly cling on to this so-called human being, the fine aggregate of form and mind. So this one, you have a physical body. Then you have a mind, or consciousness trapped inside. Mind or consciousness trapped inside. So this one is called a human being. So the Buddha said, if you deludedly believe that this is you, then you will have problem. You will develop attachment, clinging, grasping, leading to suffering. Then you will worry about you getting old, getting sick and die. Then you will also think, you have loved one. That's why you have attachment to them. You attach and cling to your loved ones, to your possession, your wealth, your whatever property, career, things that you hold on to dearly. So all this will lead to sorrow and lamentation. Then the fear of dying and all those things. You will come with it. So self-delusion is the key problem. If you don't have this understanding, if you continue to be deluded and cling on to this, then the Buddha said, in short, it is our self-delusion that conditions us to grasp and cling on to this fire aggregate of form and mind. So this human being is also defines a fire aggregate because you can break it down. Fire aggregate of form and mind. So this is the one that conditions suffering or dukkha. This one you need to meditate on it to understand it. Otherwise it is just knowledge. So when you have knowledge deep inside, you cannot liberate your mind. You cannot free. You can go and try to convince yourself, non-self, not real. But then the moment the memory come back, or when you recall, or when you are hit by the reality, the attachment, the grasping, they will show up. That's why living being has problem. Then the Buddha said, there is a fourth noble truth, which is the meditation or the key to understanding his teaching. The fourth noble truth. This is the meditation or the key to answer, the key to solve all your problems. To solve. all your problems. Because the Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, this fourth Noble Truth is Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So this Noble Eightfold Path is where the meditation is, where the teaching is. And it is a very powerful teaching. The first of the Noble Eightfold Path factor is right view, the Buddha said. Right view with regards to three things. The spiritual law that governs life and existence. So just now under the five daily contemplation, we haven't touched on the fifth one. The fifth one is about this spiritual law of karma. The first one, karma niyama. The Buddha said, each and every living being, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. And this truth, this reality, every day you must contemplate. If you read through and reflect and contemplate, then what must you do? What must you do? If you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, you are what you are. Which means karma plays such a great role in your life. All of your life, 99.999% is conditioned by karma. You are what you are because of your karma. Because you are born of it, you inherit all of them, heir to it. And you are conditioned and supported by it every moment, every instant as you go through life. And you are what you are in whatever existence because of your karma. You cannot blame anybody. So if karma plays such a great role in your life, you have to learn to take care of karma. You must understand what karma is. So this is a very, very powerful right view that living beings need to develop. So to take care of karma, we need to understand the very fundamental of karma. The Buddha said, do good because good, do evil because evil. You reap what you sow. If you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. Means you will suffer. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, they also have this saying, isn't it? 因果，种因结果，种善因结善果，种恶因结恶果。 恶 is evil. If you plant the seed of evil, you reap the fruit of evil. So karma is about good and evil, the moral causation. So the Buddha defined in his teaching what constitutes evil. He said there are three evil roots. These three evil roots are the roots of all evil. Three evil roots. And they are just greed, hatred, and delusion. But the meaning is very deep. You take this away. And delusion. He said, you cannot have these three evil roots in your heart, in your mind. If you have them, it will make you evil. Because these are the root of all evil. When you are greedy, selfish, when you have a lot of what they call selfishness, craving, desire, lust, it will make you evil. It will lead to downfall. It will lead to suffering, not only to you, but to other living beings. When you have greed, when you are selfish, you will deceive, you will cheat, you will take advantage of people. You will cause suffering to fellow living beings. And your action will bring forth the condition for negative karma to hit you back. Because when you have this evil root, It will manifest as an evil root and make you evil. And you plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. So law of karma is you reap what you sow. So in future, sometimes same life, this very life, as you get old or later part of your life, whatever you do to people, come back to you. You will be afflicted. You become the victim. Condition will arise for it to afflict you. Then if this life no condition, future life, you will become the victim. Now you take advantage of people, you bully, you deceive, you cheat, you push drug or whatever, or you neglect your duty. Then in future when you come back to take birth, because when you were a parent, you neglect your duty, you don't perform your duty through your selfishness, you simply do things, you neglect your children, your household, or anything. So when future when you take birth, you will have parents who will neglect you, do back the same thing to you, like what you did to your children and your family members. So this is what the law of karma is all about. You reap what you sow. So that's why as Buddhists, we are in fact very fortunate. We are very blessed, like I spoke in the seminar paper. Yeah? You have that seminar book, and you should read them. It is very good. Then when you have anger, hatred, negative emotion like jealousy, envy, these are also evil roots, root of all evil, the Buddha said. When you have anger and hatred, you become an evil person because this one will make you evil. Through anger, you can become violent. You can become emotional. Then you can become like, they call dangerous. It can cause you to kill and harm. And you will do a lot of very, very evil things. That's why anger, envy, jealousy, hatred, these are evil roots. Evil negative tendency. Yeah. Out of jealousy, you can kill and harm and do a lot of things. Out of envy too. Then when you hate somebody, especially your own good friend or your loved one, due to some misunderstanding, all this can make the mind evil. That's why it can cause you to kill and harm and to break all the precepts. That's why you look at the precept, the Buddha said, for you to avoid all evil, you have to avoid the evil roots. And people who violate the precept, they have all the evil roots. Take for example the first precept. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. What does it mean? The meaning is we undertake the training rule. That's why we must train with mindfulness to abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. So we ask and inquire, who kill? Who harm? Why did the Buddha say we must keep this precept? If we violate this precept, what will happen? Killing is an evil action. You agree there? Yeah? Causing harm to fellow living being also evil action. Who will kill, who will harm? Selfish people, deluded people, violent and angry people. That's why all the three evil roots are there. Delusion means not understanding the truth. We cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that we exist separately from other humanity. That's why through this selfishness, you develop the egoic mind, the personality. Then you become selfish. Then you have emotion. The evil roots of greed and hatred arise already. Then through this delusion, when you don't understand nature's law that governs life existence, you make a lot of mistakes. Then you cannot understand life. Then you develop fear, worry, anxiety, you attach, you cling. That's why this delusion is the cause of the other evil roots. So when these three evil roots are there, you become evil. And who are the people who are evil? People who violate the five precepts. You check every precept. You must have at least one, two, or a combination of all these three evils. That's why the advice of the Buddha is to avoid all evil by keeping your precept, taking your precept. That's how the teaching comes about. That's why in the puja, after we take refuge, we renew our precepts. And this is to prevent us from falling. Because if you don't keep your precept, you will commit evil actions, speech, and thought. Then it will condition your negative karma. Then you reap what you sow. You plant the seed of evil, you reap the seed of evil. That's how karma come back and haunt you, make you miserable, suffer, miserable and unhappy. When we understand this, we will be able to relate to the Dhammapada verse 183, which is the advice of all Buddhas. So advice of all Buddhas is the same. All Buddhas will tell you, you have to avoid all evil. Then wherever there's condition to do good, you must do. These two take care of your karma. They purify your mind is meditation. This one is meditation. And this one is very important. This one is to develop wisdom. Develop wisdom. When you have wisdom, you will not be deluded. Your mind will become beautiful. And you will be able to confront all this reality. Then you don't have to suffer. Then you will get to live the life of a noble one. So essentially, this is what you need to understand, and this is what the teaching is all about. So now we come back to your question. What do we do when we confront this reality, which is the passing away of your brother, Ronnie Jifuon? You see, what is death? Death is just separation of this consciousness, this so-called consciousness. When this one separate from the physical form, when it comes together, it becomes a human being, animated. But when this one separate, then you call death. That's why the physical body goes the way of nature. Immediately when death occurs, the consciousness cannot stay on, it will leave. Because the life force also stopped. Either one of the vital organs got damaged. Sometimes the spinal cord, sometimes the heart or whatever. So when this one is no longer able to sustain the consciousness, then the consciousness has to leave. That's why it's called death. The other way is the life force. They call it the karmic consciousness. Or they call it the supportive karma. The life force that come in the form of supportive karma through the law of karma to support this so-called human being, to pump your heart. And when that one stops, that living being will also have problem. Then the consciousness will also have to leave. It's just like the analogy that I use, the candle. It doesn't mean your candle so long, you will live so long. Just in between, the flame can be blown off. Or sometimes the wick or the candle not properly manufactured. So halfway through, it will create problem. And then the light will go off. So any of the three conditions, whatever within the three that sustain this so-called human being, any one gone, the consciousness were to separate, then you will encounter what they call death. The first condition is, of course, the life force. This one, the consciousness that is trapped inside, is supported by the karmic force or life force. So that one has to be there. then the physical body must be in a functional condition, like a car, no problem. If any part of the body fail, if it's not a vital part, it's okay. But if it's a vital part, straight away, you will die. That's why certain type of disease like liver cancer, very fast they die. Then heart attack, also very fast. Then spinal cord injury, sometimes you become vegetable for very long. But if they hang you, if your spinal cord snap or your brain get damaged, then it's no longer conducive to sustain the consciousness, then death will occur. So these are the three things that sustain or animate this so-called human being to be alive. Then when any of the three conditions is gone, death will occur. So after understanding this, then we will come to understand that actually no one dies. When consciousness separate, consciousness is energy, can never die. Physical form is just element, will go the way of nature. That's why immediately after death, when the consciousness separate, the life force no more, the heartbeat stop. And the medical science, they define death as no more heartbeat. When no more heartbeat means all your blood cannot go round, cannot pump, cannot be pumped to the vital organ to sustain life, your brain all will be affected. So when the heart stops, the physical form will die. So because of that, consciousness has to separate. So separation of the consciousness from the form, the medical science say death. So when there is no more heartbeat, what happens? The first element, the wind element, no more. Understand? No more heartbeat means no more vibration. Wind element, gone. Then when the wind element is gone, the second one is the heat element, will also go. That's why very fast after death, the physical body become cold. Become cold. Then after that, what happened to the water element and the earth element? The stool, everything, because the muscle that grips the rectum all, no more. So the stool will just come out, the urine will just come out. So the water element will break down. Then followed by the earth element. That's why finally the body decay. That's why you have the smell after a while. It's like dead body and all those things. Then you either bury or cremate and all those things. So different people follow different religion, different faith, they will do different things. But for the Buddhists, it's very simple. Of course, in this case, your brother's side, let your brother's family decide. Is he married? Then let them decide. They will have to decide what type of funeral and how to go through the ceremony and all those things. But as Buddhists, very simple. Because upon separation of consciousness from the form, before it dies, we also know that this so-called human being is not real, not us. Condition arising. Because this one is karmically conditioned out for us to come to this world, this universe, to live life, to experience life, to go through life. That's why to experience all of karma, everything. Then you have the condition to cultivate, then for you to make use of, not only to live life and experience life, but to cultivate and perfect your nature, your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. So this is a very important form and mind, or vehicle and tool, I call it, for us to live life, experience life, and to use it to cultivate, to develop the wisdom and to perfect our karmic nature and our spiritual nature. Vehicle in the sense that the physical body takes us around, like a car takes us around. But this physical body is more than a car, because it has the five physical senses. So our consciousness upon contact with the senses can arise consciousness. It can make us conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. And that is what life is all about. That's why consciousness is a marvel. Yeah. So we can experience all of the beauty and wonders of life through our consciousness, through the light and sound. Yeah? Sight and sound, sorry, not light. Sight and sound, whatever that you can see and hear, the nice music, the beautiful scenery. So sight and sound, smell and taste, tactile, can give rise to very beautiful consciousness if we understand life, so that we can experience life to the fullest. We can live life to the fullest. And this is what life is all about. Understanding this clearly. Understanding the secret of life and know how to live. But living beings are deluded. Instead of using the physical body and the consciousness as a vehicle and a tool to live life, to experience all of the life and to cultivate, they deludedly grasp and cling and hold on to this and become miserable. So much so they never leave. They worry about life. You see, when you do not understand life, you will have this problem. They will be too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Entangle themselves with the evil roots and develop all the evil action, speech, and thought process. And through this process, the law of karma hit back. That's why they become afflicted. So the human being that is deluded will cling on to this five degree of form and mind and develop suffering. That's why this one, craving, will arise. Sensual craving. Craving to be and craving not to be. So these three types of craving constantly torment them, condition them to cling, grasp, and attach and hold. It can be positive and negative. Craving not to be is negative, the one want to push away. So this craving, clinging, grasping, attachment, the holding on to all these things through delusion is the cause of suffering. And if you don't have wisdom born of this teaching, the Buddha Dhamma, the form and mind will become miserable, suffer. You will not be able to understand all this and you will not have the understanding to use it. Means this form and mind, which is karmically conditioned and not you, because it's dependent originating, condition arising, if you deludedly cling and hold, you will suffer. You will become afflicted. So this understanding is very important and very beautiful. That as Buddhists, when we understand this, after we die, or whoever our loved one die, this physical form, you can cremate it. No problem, understand? Do not be deluded and like a lot of people. Last time there was one Kayanamita, he didn't know about, I think it's a lady, she didn't know about this though. Or not to say she didn't know about this. She actually later on know about this because she feel funny. You know. Actually the aunt, you know the aunt, the mother's sister, pass away. But this aunt is quite a nice aunt because she actually during her younger day take care of this Kayanamita before. Yeah. Then what happened was she is not married, understand? And because she is not married, so this Kayanamita as she grew up, the last maybe 6 years or so, she attended my class, she developed this understanding. So she got a lot of love and compassion and gratitude towards the aunt. So she looked after the aunt. But the aunt was going through old age sickness, impending death. So the last few years, he saw so much suffering in the aunt. And she kept on writing me email and all those things. Then later on, because she is not married, when she passed away, you know what happened? they were arguing as how to handle the body. And everybody tell them the reason why they cannot cremate. You know why they say they cannot cremate? He said, how can you burn my aunt? He will suffer like mad. He already suffered before she died. You cremate and burn her, she will suffer more. Then luckily she got the Dhamma. He told them, element only lah. No more consciousness. That's why the autopsy, no more feeling already. Why you all worry about? See, people can be so deluded. Then luckily because of what she did, she actually helped her out in many, many ways towards the later part of her life. So she actually have this genuine gratitude towards her love and compassion. She every time radiate metta, send metta, and ask me what to do. Then I advise her through many emails. Then she did. Then she saw her aunt getting better. But then not long again because the reality of old age sickness and pending death set in again. Then she got a lot of suffering. Then what she can do is just to do what she is capable through her limited Dhamma knowledge to advise her to accept this reality, to contemplate all those things. Then because of what she did, because she was so sincere, so genuine in her expression of all those things, actually the aunt felt it and was a lot better and I should say recovered quite a bit. But then later on, the aunt knew that the time is up. So I think she finally passed away, the aunt, peacefully. Then they just did what they have to do. And because of what he did, he didn't know what the aunt has actually prepared for her. She just finished everything. Then later on, she was told in the wheel, the aunt gave the new car to her that the aunt bought on. She was so surprised when she drove that car to fetch me to one of the monthly Kanyamita sharing. I still remember, and she was full of joy. But before that, it's also very good for her because she is also not married. So she witnessed all this. Then she start to understand the Buddha Dhamma. So when you understand, you are not deluded. So you don't worry about what people say. If they want to do barrier, if they have faith and they think it's better, it's up to them because there is nothing to fight over a dead body. It's just element, no more reality. But fela piety is very important. You know what is this word? Fela piety. Is it correct spelling? Wait. F-I-A. Oh, filia. Oh, yeah. Filia. I think not correct. Is it correct? Oh, correct. Lily say correct means correct. English teacher. So, filia piety, you must not be confused. Filia piety is when you care for them, support them in whatever way while they are still alive. That is more important. Understand? That is real fela piety. But after they pass away, then only you try to cry. To me, that is not fela piety. That is suffering, sorrow, and lamentation, grief. Because in the Buddha's teaching, it was mentioned in many places, many times. There were some Jataka stories. One of them, of course, was a famous one. One of the life, the Bodhisattva, the son died because of some incident. Then the Bodhisattva, because he has the wisdom, he never cried. He never becomes sorrowful. He just told somebody who was on the way back, yeah, to the house in the village. He said, please help me to inform my wife to bring food only for two instead of three. Then bring some perfume. Then bring some whatever, white clothing and all those things. The moment the wife heard this, he knew one of the children has died. So the wife did accordingly and come. Then while waiting for the wife, the Bodhisattva at that time set up the pyre. They call what? P-Y-R-E. How to pronounce? Funeral pyres. To get ready to cremate or burn the body. So when the wife come, they started setting up the fire and all those things. Then the king was nearby. Then the king saw what happened. Then came forward and asked the Bodhisattva, who is it that you were trying to help cremate? The Bodhisattva said, my son. He said, very strange. If it's your son, you should be crying and lamenting. Why are you not crying? Maybe a very disobedient son. The Bodhisattva said, no, a very obedient son, a very good son. That cannot be. Why don't you cry? How come you don't have any sorrow or lamentation or grief? Then he said, maybe your heart is very cold. He said, I will ask the wife. He said, the mother sure will cry. Then he saw the Bodhisattva's wife also didn't cry. Then before he asked the wife, the Bodhisattva answered, he said, you listen to this, you will understand. He said, whatever that is of the condition to arise, will pass away. That which is born is already gone. So no amount of sorrow and lamentation or grief will bring back the dead. And he just answered the king. Means, whatever that is of the condition to arise is of the condition to cease. Means, this is a universal law, universal characteristic of impermanent. Whatever that is born will finally die. So he said, whatever that is of the condition to arise is of the condition to cease, but finally it will cease. So for the son's case, what has been born is already dead. That's why he said, no amount of sorrow and lamentation or grief will bring back the dead. Why must we be so foolish? This is a reality. We accept it. Then we do what we have to do. That's why I put the perfume and do. Then you can radiate love, metta, send merits. Then invoke power merits for them to have better birth or whatever. And these are the things that you can do, that you should do. Then make offering and donation in their name to the Sangha or to whatever wholesomeness, to charity or whatever. Then invoke the power of merit. And those are more tangible. Instead of crying, lamenting, grieving over, making yourself miserable, while they're around, you should care for them, talk to them, express your love and whatever. So this is the true understanding of filial-piety. Filial-piety is from the heart. That's why don't waste your life. A lot of living beings, they fail to understand. They work so hard because they think they have to be successful in life. Nothing wrong with wanting to be successful in life, understand? But you must understand how to develop it. Because many people have seen me about their suffering. And I have seen a lot of classmates and even friends, colleagues, and even other people. They actually overwork this for my mind. They overstress it. Until, because in the name of financial pursuit, they work so hard for money, thinking that with money they can have good life. So they work for money. They work at the expense of their health. Then they unknowingly overwork and stress themselves out and develop a lot of complications. So when you are stressful, your immune system will drop. You will be afflicted with disease and all things. That's why you will lose your health. Then the most important thing is you will not have enough time to live life. Means to be with your loved ones. Understand? To be with your children, to be with your spouse or your parents. You don't have that time to be with them, to live the good life, the quality life, to experience life. Yeah. So life is not just about striving. Want to earn a lot of money. Of course, financial stability is also important for you to provide for yourself, your family, and your children, or your whatever need, food, shelter, and maybe for the rainy day and other things. But you must understand, you have to strike a balance. You must not overwork, overstress. That's why you have to find the right balance. Means you must develop special skill. That's why Mangala Sutta say you must be skillful in certain things. Understand? If you want to have financial freedom, you must be skillful in certain business or certain trade or certain investment or whatever. When you are good in it, skillful in it, you can make your living easily and you can retire early. It's not difficult. But you must understand, and you must do it within the confine of Buddha Dharma. Means you don't cheat, you don't deceive, you don't take advantage, you don't do all those things that leads to negative karma. Then you know you reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. You have the condition, you have the means. You must develop more virtue, like generosity, kindness, goodness, honesty, sincerity, gratitude, contentment, respect. And all this will bring forth the good condition for good karma to arise. So if you have dana parami, generosity parami, wealth will come to you. Money will come to you. That's why you must have goodness, kindness, virtue, generosity and all things. These are the parami that can bring forth the good life. So when you have the means, when you have the understanding, you should do whatever you do to people. If you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. That's why in Mandarin it's very good. 种善因结善果. That's why they say 做善事. What is the meaning? The Mandarin word is very nice. San is what? Wholesomeness, goodness, whatever. That's why a good person, they say, 善良, the learn. That's why you must have virtue. Finally, you must have virtue. You reap what you sow. That's why I cultivate more and more wholesomeness. The non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. The virtue, the pure mind, the wholesome mind. So, understanding life is very important. It ties out with understanding how to die. So, for your case, the answer is very simple. You can radiate love and metta because of the bond. You are the sister. Then you recall to mind all the good things that he has done to you. Then you invoke the power of merits. You rejoice with all this and you thank him for having done all this to you. Then, by the power of this wholesomeness, because you have the Dhamma, your pure wish can be very powerful. May it arise across the same condition for you to have a better rebirth immediately after this passing away, so that he can have a better life in the hereafter. May the blessing of the... Is he a Buddhist? Then may the blessing of the Triple Gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha be with him. And may he have the causes and condition to develop the clear understanding of the true Buddha, Dhamma, so that in future he will have the good life. Then you can go and help out the family member, counsel them, listen to them, but don't interfere, understand? You can only advise because it's their family matter. But more important is to let them understand that this is the reality. Your dad is already no more, understand? So this reality not only happened to your dad, everybody finally one day have to confront them. So when we have this understanding, our mind can be composed. We can be calm and peaceful. We can accept this reality. Your reality is something that will happen. Then, through this understanding, with a calm mind, we do what we have to do, understand? We repay our gratitude, our fellow piety, towards what our parents has done for us. Then you can even counsel their children by reminding them, your parent has given you life, educate you, raise you, support you, sacrifice for you, and do whatever he can to bring up the family to what it is now. So you should express your gratitude towards him and your respect towards him and thank him for whatever he has done for you. So in return, as fellow piety children, you should do something on behalf of your parents so that they can also have the good life in the hereafter. So recall to mind all the good things that he has done for you. They invoke the power of wholesomeness, rejoice, and thank them with gratitude, with respect. Express the expression of thanks. They invoke the power of this wholesomeness for the benefit of him and his future life. Then, whatever you do, you can discuss among the family members, the children and all things, how you want to actually give the father a very meaningful and proper, they call it the funeral arrangement. So all this can be done with understanding. Then whatever money you receive through the whatever they call it pakkam, English what we call donation, again donation, the words getting a bit difficult to define. This type of donation is so when you understand, normally you will know what to do with this type of money, understand? Apart from paying for the funeral expenses or what, then the balance, normally people donate. Then invoke power of merits for those people who have donated because you express gratitude towards them too. Then in future, when it comes to other people's funeral, that's why the Chinese tradition is very good. You know them, you visit them, you also give your share of your pakkam. But this is a very easy way for them to raise money, to tie over their funeral expense and all those things. But nowadays, for PJKL, most family, they are okay. They can meet the expense easily. So for those who have this means, normally what they do is they will donate all of the pakkam to charity or to whatever. Then some, they even tell people beforehand, no need to give pakkam and all those things. So I remember recently, I think I received from Sweet Allah, I think Brother Jim, the mother, passed away. He said, no need pakkam, I remember. But Don't worry, huh? Because whatever it is, our Chinese culture is very good. We should support that type of culture. So if you have this type of gratitude, you have benefited through the activity of SJBA. That's why that day I was told, how many buses went down? Oh, one full bus load. And a lot of people went. Yes, you know, I'm raising 20 over years there, did a lot of good things. Then happened to be one of our Kayanamitas too. Then NB also very strong supporter in Kayanamita. So these are the understanding that you can have. You have the Buddha Dhamma. So that these are the things we can pass it down and advise our loved ones. So that they know how to confront all this. When my father and my mother passed away, there was no tears, nothing, no need to cry. Because they have lived. Especially my dad and my mom, they have lived a full life. My dad used to tell me, he said, whatever he want to do, he has already done. He has gone back to China to help the brother and the brother's family and all those things. And he wants to help the village that he grew up, because he left that village when he was 8 years old. He know how poor they are. He keep on telling me he want me to study medicine, but I end up choosing engineering because I told him, I try my very best to respect your good wishes. I was very good in both subjects. I got book prize for both subjects, bio and math. I can do both actually. Then I told my father that I know you want me to be a doctor because he's Chinese sincere. So I said, to be fair to you, to be fair to me, I draw a lot. I said, I put four maths, four bio. I stir them up. Then I say, I take one by one out. Ayo. Take out the first one, maths. Put back, stir again. Take another one, also maths. Put back, all four maths. Then I tell my father, I say, meant to be. I will be a civil engineer. I remember 1971, when I was in Form 5. That's why a lot of things just happened. Then later on, because I was a civil engineer, my father wanted to go back to China to help them to deliver water. He asked me, you civil engineer, how? I said, very easy. You can buy pipes, ask people to lay them. Because it's in the mountain, I said, just get a nice area where there's a construction. Just dam it up a little bit, maybe 3-4 feet. Then just pipe the water down. Then have a storage tank with the bore valve, everything, the float, everything. Then they will have pipe water. Then my father went back. That time was so cheap, labor, everything was so cheap. I think he spent less than 500 RMB at that time. Our money was only 1/3 that time. I remember 3-1. And he did a lot of things. Then later on, my mother also lived until 89. My dad lived until 80. Then, before the 10 years before he passed away, our family very big, 9 of us. Then most of them are married, except one sister not married. Then we had this yearly gathering. For New Year and all those things, and in between we go back. So my dad was very happy. Then that year, the final year, where we used to take them around, have this good New Year gathering. Then that year, very strange, 2004, I remember, that Chinese New Year. My father passed away July 28, I remember, my daughter's birthday, 2004. But that year, New Year, very strange, 2 months before the New Year, I got this feeling that I must do something for the whole family so that my father will be very happy. Because at that time, his leg all show sign of weakness right there. And I felt it. Then I told my brother, I said, okay, this year we go to a special place, a resort area. They call Hak Kiao Resort, you know, somewhere in Songkla there. Our whole family, you know, 9 brothers and sisters, including wives, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all, big group, we all took my parents down. And that New Year, that resort holiday, my father was so happy. He told me and my mother, he said, this is life, this is happiness, this is joy. Seeing all the children, all the siblings, all the daughter-in-law, son-in-law, grandchildren, grandchildren with all the other family members, having this joy at that resort. I remember very briefly that day. Then we took photo, we wheelchair him and all those things. That type of joy, he will always remember. And my mom also remember. But later on at the funeral, some elder generation create some misunderstanding. Tell my mother, why your family member, their children all don't have filial piety one? You know why she say that? Nobody cry. Then he say, according to our ancestor, well, this one or two generation higher than my mother some more. No? He say, according to our generation, well, my father is the first generation of the, yeah, well, in the Chinese tradition, if you are the first generation, that generation, you will have the center name or the last name to define your generation. My father's lineage is always the first one on. So that's why we are ahead of all those people. Then, because of that, my elder brother was the lead. Then, during my father's funeral, all these other relatives, they were the sub-branch actually. Then there were also some of them like my father one, the head generation. So there are 2 generations, I think, older than my mom. She was the one that told my mom, according to our forefather generation, you must cry. You don't cry means no filial piety. No filial piety means your husband will go to hell. Is it? Wow. Until my mother also panicked. My mother also want to cry. Then my mother go and encourage my brother to cry. You know. Then everybody was surprised. You know. Then my youngest brother came and see me and said, we got a situation. I said, what is it? He said, mom is crying and asking us all to cry, but none of us cry. I said, okay, don't worry, I will see her. So I went and held her hand. I said, mom, what happened? Well, she really loved me. She stayed with me for many years, helped me to look after my kid. And I brought him to the Dhamma, her to the Dhamma, and teach her the chanting and everything. But she is a very simple lady. No education, nothing. But very simple. Then I held her hand. And she did not ask me to cry on. She know my stuff. Then I say, what happened? Then he relate to me all the things. The elders told her. You know. I say, okay, now you heard what they tell you. You willing to listen to me or not? Then she look at me. Well, she trust me. She say, yeah, yeah. Okay, now you listen. I say, filial piety means what? Die already, you need cry to show people. Then she say, no. Okay, then what is filial piety? When I mentioned the Hak Kiao Resort, she immediately got joy. That time, Dad was the most happy. He even told us, that is life. I said, that is filial piety. While they are alive, show your love, express your love, take them around, respect them, have gratitude towards them, and say it to them, Anasala. Don't hold on to any of the misunderstanding or the grudges. No point. Express your gratitude towards them, your respect for them, for their sacrifice that they have given you. And how they have actually give us life, brought, supported us all the way, education, provide us with all the food and shelter and the good life. So all these other things that he has done, and he's such a responsible dad and did so much thing for us. That's why my father got a lot of joy. And we used to New Year time talk about our younger days. But then my father shared a lot of things with me. Then I also share a lot of things with him. Then when I was young, I remember I told him because he was like trying to compare our neighbor with us. Our neighbor got two children. They were very hardworking and they came out very successful. So we all got nine. So we were all still young that time. Then my dad said, see, because they invited our whole family over. Because of their success. So every year they got this celebration, very big celebration during Chinese New Year. Then my dad used to tell me, he said, how nice if one or two of his children can become like them. Then I told my dad, you don't worry, he said, we will do better than them. And really, you know, as we grew our, I said, they don't have education, they make the money, yeah. But then without education, they will be different. And really, you know, they have a lot of money, but their children, because they don't emphasize on education. I remember got one year the speech that two brothers who were very successful, the elder brother said, see my son, is it form three, no need to study really, is it? Like his dad, no need to study one, is it? We all can become successful, is it? He will take over my business. Form three only, you know. And because of that, their business later on, a few more years, get into big problem. not enough education, don't know how to run, don't know how to expand on it. Then karma hit back. So a lot of things that my father saw, then he used to tell me, yeah, you were right. Well, later on, all my brothers, I said, after I became successful, after I went into MU, wow. The whole village talk about it. When I did very well in Form 5, I got the gold medal and all those things for the Hakka. So then people get to know my family. And I bring for honor to my family. My father become very happy that time. My mother also same. And all my other brother and sister, they walk in the village, also different. Everybody like know the family because of me. Because in that town, very difficult even to pass Form 3 on. I not only pass, I excel. Then I went to UM, University of Malaya, and did civil. So it brings forth so much honor to the family and all things. And because of that, my whole family came up. And everyone become confident just because I showed the way. So these are the things that can happen when you have the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. For me, I just live accordance with the Dhamma. And like your life is so beautiful, like you are so lucky, so fortunate, everything go your way, actually nothing to do with luck. Everything is about karma. Okay. I will wrap it up, 5 more minutes to go. So because of that, if you have the Buddha Dhamma, you will understand life, you will understand what death is, and you understand what vilapaiti is, then you will know how to express your gratitude, your respect for your parents, for they have given you life. Without them, you cannot come to this world. And they have provided for you, sacrificed for you, care for you, and did all those things for you. So in return, what have you done for your parents? You ask yourself. Have you expressed your gratitude, your respect towards them, your love towards them? Have you really held their hand and talked to them? Because the highest joy or happiness that parents can have is they don't expect you to reward them, understand? They only expect you to love them, have gratitude towards them. That's enough. And when they see you have good life and happy life, they are very happy. But you neglect your life and become like those people who go the wrong way, I tell you, you make them sorrowful. you think they don't suffer. They suffer, especially when they receive bad news about you. My mother used to tell me this, I got one youngest brother. He is the youngest. He was 6 years younger than my last sister. So he was too young. We all really left for study. And he grew up pampered by my father. So because of that, luckily he passed from three, because everybody thought he would fail. So that year I went back. I bought all the model answer, give to him. Then he passed. But then form four, he went and whacked the discipline teacher until suspend from school throughout. Then my father asked him to come down to PJ. And then I helped him. Then my mother used to tell me what. He said, I will be the happiest mom on this earth if my last son can become Sang Sing, how you call it in English? Sang Sing. Mature in his thinking. Actually, no, he said, can turn around and become a normal child or a good child. He will be the happiest. Then you know what happened. We got another neighbor, the other side, also got 9 children. We all almost same one. Then that family, the mother, he tell my mother one. He say, you don't worry. Your karma so good. He told my mother like that. Well, my elder brother was very naughty. He almost went into gangsterism or those things. Then after he got married, he changed. And he also become a very good child. So that's why this one, I say, your karma very good one, he told my mother. You are very blessed one. You look at your elder son, like that also can turn around. Then your second son did so well, he said, you got no problem. And really true. Finally, my youngest brother, he came down to PJ. Then I talked to him. I say, black and white also you cannot see. I say, because of you, father and mother worry like anything. I say, what are you doing? If you really, really love your parents for what they have done for you, you will never do that. I say, we all the brothers and sisters are so successful. What do you want? You just tell us. We can help you in many, many ways. Well, there was one New Year, I went back and talked to him. I say, you turn around. Mother is the happiest mom in this world. And my dad, your dad also, we have my dad pampered him, he knew. Then he determined, what can I do? I say, very easy. You tell me what you want to do. I say, our elder brother got a battery manufacturing concern. That means factory that do battery for export and all that. If you want to work for him, also can. I'll talk to him, you go in. Then from rank and file, you come out. Second one is my father's business. The other younger brother take over Chinese medicine shop. You go there, become an apprentice, you also will have your future. Third, if you don't want to work under them, we will provide you with capital. The rental in our style is so cheap. I say 6 month rental. We're willing to shoulder everything. Then help you out in gathering the whatever stock you want for small business enough, I say, like mini market. Sell newspaper, sell all those things. You can have a good living because we can later on, if you are successful, we buy up the shop lot, you don't have to worry about rental. Then, of course, the fourth one is, if you got any business idea or what, you let us know. Then we will go through with you, then we will support you. So finally, he chose to work for my brother. That's why after that, he became very successful. Then he believed what I told him. Last time, when my mother tell him one, you can be like 10% like your second eldest brother, my mother will be very happy already. You know what my youngest brother told him? He say, Erke, he call me Erke, he's a civil engineer. He say, if I can be like him 10%, I no need to be what I am now already. He say, I cannot study one. Then later on, after he turned around, he talked to my mother different again. He realized I was very good in many ways. He tell my mother, he say, why we all so stupid? You got one 二哥 who is a civil engineer. He knows so much thing, lor. He don't know how to tap on him and talk to him and learn from him, lor. That's why he keep on calling me after that. Then he became very successful, lor. I teach him about the Dhamma. I say, you want to have money, yeah? Donate more. Every time he got salary, or why you call me, you help me to donate. That money come, lor. Then again, send money to me and help him. And then recently, he again reminded me, he said, 2,000 donate. Because one of the IPO he got, and he make money again. He make almost 100,000 from the IPO. You know what is IPO? Initial public offer, the share. Money just come to him. So because of that, I got nowhere else to donate. I say, Kayana Mitapan. So I sent to Sian 2,000. So these are the things that he learned. No? And he tell my mother that. No? My mother spoke to me and was full of joy. And he said, last time when I told him to call you, he did not call you. One. Then now, after he get to know me, staying with me and all the thing, he go and tell my mom. I said, why your brother is so stupid? Don't know how to make use of a girl. Then after that, my father called me, my brother called, everybody called me. Then everybody open account. Then they make money. Okay, we better end. Okay, so I hope I answered your question. Sadhu. We should thank her, Doris, for the good condition. Sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit, transfer merit. Then remind me, we also transfer some merits and share some merits with the brother. Ronnie Chi Fu On. One of my brother's name is Fu, the other one is On. Ronnie was my brother's name also. Ronnie. Okay. We recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed since our last 2 hours of Dhamma sharing, puja, and all the wholesomeness that we have developed. And now we will share and transfer all these merits with the devas. Then later on I will invoke the final one for the blessing of Ronnie Chi. Okay, sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang tu kita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, now I will invoke power merits by the power whatever wholesomeness that we kayanamita together with all the Dhamma protectors, non-human, they have done today for this 2 hour plus session, may arise the causes and conditions for these merits to be shared by all, especially Doris' brother, Ronnie Chi Fu On, who is in Penang, who has just passed away. May these merits to pave the way for him to have a better rebirth, and may the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha be with him after his immediate passing away from this life. Then may he also have the causes and conditions to develop the understanding of the true Buddha Dhamma so that he can have better life in the future, so that he can also develop the cultivation accordingly. And because of this affinity, we wish him all the best. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then whatever rhyme or existence he may take, may he be well and happy always. May the blessing of the Triple Gem do be with him. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you can pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
Mm-hmm.